This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Game week's finally here. A lot of excitement around town. You can feel the buzz around Greenville. You can certainly feel the buzz around campus and within our locker room and meeting rooms. You know, a lot of hard work went into getting to this game week and, you know, getting the program to where it is as we start the season.
I hope you have a great Wednesday.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's the Adam Gold Show. I am Adam Gold. Dennis Cox is here. My gosh, we had to do a rewrite of something right at the, in the last 2 minutes.
Oh, don't tell them how the sausage is made.
I'm just saying, like, it's not even a major story, but I wanted to get it right.
Okay.
And in doing a little late research, I found that dogs and cats are living together.
No. Preposterous.
So, this is sort of a tease, and it has nothing to do with Duke and North Carolina.
Oh.
Okay? It has nothing to do with Duke and North Carolina, but could, or state and Carolina. Doesn't matter. We're talking about arch rivals here, right?
Oh, okay.
Do you think UNC and NC State could combine into one entity to oversee a business?
No.
I've always found it, it's common that Carolina fan marries Duke fan.
Yeah, it happens.
Right? I think it's common.
It happens.
I mean, it gets a little touchy a couple of times a year. Certainly not in any sport other than basketball. But it gets a little touchy. We're not sure. Twice a year in the span. Sometimes four times. Did they play four times last year? No. They only played three times last year, right? They didn't play in the ACC tournament again. They played twice in the regular season, and then, of course, oh, unbelievable. Still great. So, we have a situation where two arch rivals are combining to own a business. And we'll explain a little bit later on. I am fascinated by this now. I didn't realize it was the case because the headline I saw was misleading.
Of course.
Yeah, I understand.
Aren't they all?
But a deeper read, unless the second story I read was wrong, and I don't believe it is, a deeper read, like, wow, I can't believe this is a thing. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But we have a lot of football. We are closing in on week one. I can't wait. Let's go. They're off. Panthers cutdown day was kind of uneventful, right? There wasn't a ton there.
Yeah.
PJ Walker still here.
Yep.
Obviously, the injury to Sam Darnold has allowed the Panthers to hang on to PJ Walker.
And Corral.
Well, Matt Corral was always going to be hung on to.
True.
Right? He's out for the year. They already put him on IR. So, Corral's going to be here rehabbing. He will not count against the 53-man roster. But if Corral and Darnold do not get hurt, PJ Walker is looking for work. I mean, facts only. That's what it is. But Corral gets injured. And to be honest, P.J. Walker was still going to be looking for work until Sam Darnold got hurt. Darnold's ankle injury, which will keep him out, my guess is at least a month, really opened the door for P.J. Walker to stick around. Now, that doesn't mean that P.J. Walker will stick around. The Panthers might, in the next 10 days, between now and the time they set their roster for the 11th, September 11th, they might find another quarterback out there that they want. Maybe they want that David Blau guy that the Lions cut, although the Lions are trying to bring him back in the practice squad. Maybe they'll trade for Jimmy G. They haven't traded for a quarterback in more than a month.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
So who knows what the Panthers are going to do. So P.J. Walker is back. Justin Burris did not make the cut, former NC State guy. Safety, who some people thought might even push for a starting role, was released. Brandon Zylstra, more of a special teamer than anything else. He was waived. Laviska Shenault's acquisition moved out Keith Kirkwood. And Eddie Pinheiro is the new kicker. Pinheiro. We have a great start to the college football season. We've already started the college football season for some people. Look, some of us are still basking in the glow of Northwestern over Nebraska. Yes. Not because we're huge Northwestern fans, but we appreciate the schadenfreude of what's happening in Lincoln. Locally speaking, we talked about it yesterday. We will discuss it more today as well. State and Carolina are on the road to ECU and App, respectively. Both noon kicks on Saturday, which makes me mad, but whatever. That's why Al Gore invented multiple screens. Wake hosts... What? He invented the internet!
I know what you're referring to there.
Wake hosts VMI on Thursday. Duke opens Friday at home to Temple. Back to Thursday night, locally, we've got a bunch of FCS schools. Citadel at Campbell. Campbell's taking a step forward. Mm-hmm. I think going to the CAA, right? I think they announced a move to the Colonial.
They will be.
But Citadel is at Campbell. Gardner-Webb hosts Limestone. Tickets, good seats still available. Mars Hill will visit East Tennessee State. Saturday, Elon's at Vanderbilt. I'm going to say it out loud. It's a winnable game for Elon.
Yeah.
Winnable game for the Phoenix. Western Carolina travels to Charleston Southern. Davidson's at Jacksonville State. I think Davidson might be good this year. And, of course, the biggie at Bank of America Stadium, 7:30 Aggie Eagle Classic. Awesome. Awesome spot for that. But nationally, Thursday night, Backyard Brawl, West Virginia Pitt. Saturday, Florida State at LSU. Neither of these teams are ranked. Florida State, well, nobody's surprised that Florida State's not ranked. LSU is a 3-point favorite. That's it? Really? Clemson's at Georgia Tech. The Tigers are favored by a lot. Mm. Oregon's at Georgia. Cincinnati's at Arkansas. Houston at Texas San Antonio. Utah at Florida. Notre Dame at the Horseshoe against Ohio State. Should be pretty good. Sorry, I'm always going to jam out to Fiddler on the Roof in that style. Cut down day across the NFL. What did I say? Cut down day. Find out what I said in the...
I'll bring it up. Don't worry.
Oh, man. Cut down day across the NFL produced, I think, really a collective yawn in most places. There really weren't a ton of, wow, that guy got released. In Las Vegas, however... Alex Leatherwood, an offensive lineman out of Alabama. I think he was a starting right tackle last year. Drafted in the first round last season. Was cut. Wait a second. It's a first round pick last year? Raiders are, and this is purely football. The Raiders are, I'm sure there's locker room issues, but the Raiders are eating almost $9 million in dead cap.
Wow.
Right?
This guy couldn't be a backup for you?
Are you serious? Look, all three first-rounders from last year are gone. They're not on the roster. Two of them have nothing to do with football. You know that one of them is Henry Ruggs.
Yeah.
Right? But Alex Leatherwood, I remember talking to Mike Felder about Leatherwood. He loved Alex Leatherwood. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine that Leatherwood is going to be picked up now. I'm sure that there has already been a claim on Alex Leatherwood. Amazing stuff. So, but there was other Raiders news, sort of. We're going to get to more of this in a second, but John Gruden was speaking at the Little Rock, Arkansas Touchdown Club, and he asked for forgiveness, said he was a good person. We'll let you hear that in a little bit. Fascinating. Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't traded, wasn't released by the 49ers. He was retained. This is causing a lot of people confusion. I will simply ask this. Why wouldn't the 49ers keep a good backup quarterback? Why? And we've got Jerry Jones stuff to talk about in just a few minutes. All right, this is the story I was alluding to before, and I'm fascinated by this. I don't know what there is to say about it other than, that's cool. The Yankees and Red Sox are going to be friends in this way.
Mm.
Fenway Sports Group,
okay,
owned by John Henry, is the owner of that, and okay, there's other partners, including LeBron James, by the way.
Yeah.
LeBron James is a part owner of Fenway Sports Group. They have completed a purchase of AC Milan, who is the reigning champions of Serie A, the Italian football league. So, by the way, they play Inter. It's a derby. Mm. They probably don't call it a derby in Italy. Saturday at noon. The Yankees are a minority stakeholder in AC Milan. Huh. So the Red Sox and the Yankees both own AC Milan. That's awesome to me. That's tremendous. I can't wait.
What?
Right, $1.2 billion purchase price. You and I were talking about this before the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because Fenway Sports Group owns Liverpool also. Yeah. 1/4 of the Premier League are owned by Americans. The other four clubs that, other than Liverpool, are owned by NFL owners. Shad Khan owns Fulham. Stan Kroenke, who owns the Rams. Shad Khan owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. Stan Kroenke owns the Rams. They own Arsenal. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. There's a baseball angle here. Todd Boehly, part owner of the Dodgers, just bought Chelsea this year.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember off the top of my head the other one that I'm drawing a blank on. Malcolm Glazer, Buccaneers owner, owns Man U.
Yeah.
Okay. See, this is why we watch football. You can spell it how you like, as opposed to American football. NFL owners know. They know where the real league is. Just kidding.
No wonder that Jacksonville always loves going over.
Oh, yeah, no, that's
they play at Wembley.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
That Khan has done that. They don't sell a lot of tickets in Jacksonville, or enough tickets, so they can take their home games over there and pretend that they're growing the game.
Of course.
They're not. They're making money, which, again, is fine. Speaking of growing the game and making money, shouts to Harold Varner. Did you want to play some sort of a transition here? I jumped the gun on this. Oh, yeah. I mentioned this yesterday. A bunch of new LIV golfers, Harold Varner, Cam Smith, others. A couple of very quick things about this because, this is not an anti-LIV thing. I got no problem with people doing this. It's zero. Varner said the stuff out loud that nobody else seems to want to say. He did it for money. Thank you. Because that's really what anybody has just... Don't give us the BS line. I almost said something I shouldn't. Don't give us the BS line. Simply tell us the real reason, even though we know the real reason. Harold Varner said this was financially life-changing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Cam Smith said, yeah, not going to lie, money was a big deal. Of course it was. It's really the only deal. He said the schedule also mattered to him. We'll see. I mean, you're still going to be forced to play 14 events, so it's not going to give you as much time at home as you think. But either way, that's fun. At least they said money. Quick story about LIV. Not a story about LIV, but this is a lot of these players are going to be playing at the DP World Tour, the European Tour, top event, which is the BMW Championship. It's sort of their players' championship.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be about 20 of them in the field from the LIV Tour. The DP World Tour sent a please don't wear LIV gear at our event. They didn't say you can't wear it. They said we would prefer if you didn't because you can't prevent. You can't ban somebody from wearing a sponsor logo, and they are sponsored by LIV Golf. Just saying. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. All right, back to the initial stories. There's not a ton more to say about Panthers cutdown day other than, wow, Eddie Pinheiro. Pinheiro.
Mm-hmm.
Was he good for the Bears? I mean, he wasn't terrible.
Yeah, sure.
The Bears haven't had a good kicker since Robbie Gould. So we'll just leave it at that. All right. To the college football season and the beginning. We talked a lot yesterday about, and we heard from Dave Doran about their trip to East Carolina. Shall we listen to Mike Houston, the head coach of the Pirates? And this is another step in the growth of this program. This is year four. Won 7, went 7-5 last year. And these are the kind of games they want to play in.
It's going to be a challenging matchup, but one that we're really excited about. Excited about the response that Pirate Nation has had since I got here. And, you know, we talked about this, you know, when I was hired, you know, getting the program back to where, you know, this is what we expect on game days. So it's good to see kind of that come to reality. And I'm excited for our fan base and our kids.
All right, they won three games, I believe, in year one. Or maybe it was four games. They were under 500 in the first 2 years. How do you compare that to now?
We were outmanned pretty badly on that day in 2019, and we kind of knew that going into the season. You can only do so much in the 6 months. You got to kind of develop as much as you can what you have. Obviously it was a spotlight on where – our program was at that time in comparison to NC State's. Now I think that there's been a lot of work done in recruiting, in development, in growth. And, you know, there's a handful of guys that were on that field for that game in 2019 that, are going to be on the field Saturday. And just, you know, seeing how they've grown and seeing how the program's grown, you know, it's a different program.
There's a lot of players for both teams that will be on the field. That were on the field in 2019. That's the last time State and East Carolina played. They played in 18 and 19, both games at Carter-Finley Stadium. Look, I'm fascinated by it. I still think NC State by far has the better team. We'll hear more from Mike Houston a little bit later on. But it really is part of a really fun, I think, opening weekend of college football. All right, so there's an NFL salad that we are making here. There are just a number of stories that I think are really fascinating, and we will start in Vegas. Well, it's not really in Vegas, because we're going to start with the former head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, John Gruden, who you may recall last year he resigned, but of course he was fired by the Raiders when emails surfaced in which he referred to DeMaurus Smith, the executive director of the NFL's Players Association, as rubber lips. Yeah. In an email with then-Washington president, Allen? What am I forgetting his first name? It's not George Allen. It's George Allen's son. Anyway, regardless, it was an investigation into Washington. And it revealed these emails from John Gruden. So he got bounced, and frankly, justifiably so. So he is sort of asking for forgiveness at the Little Rock, Arkansas Touchdown Club. Here.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm not going to say anything but honest things here. I'm ashamed about what has come about in these emails, and I'll make no excuses for it. It's shameful. But I am a good person. I believe that. I go to church. I've been married for 31 years. I got three great boys. I still love football. I've made some mistakes, but I don't think anybody else in here hasn't. And I just ask for forgiveness, and hopefully I get another shot.
Jim Jones also go to church?
Maybe.
I think so. I don't even know what that means. I'm a good person. I go to church. I don't know what that means. Does that mean that that denotes good people? I mean, I'm sure everybody who is a churchgoer in the audience knows somebody who is also a churchgoer who is a jackass and a mean-spirited person. Like, this is not a, well, here's proof. I mean, I didn't, like, I'm not even saying that John Gruden's not a nice person. He obviously has thoughts that got him fired. You called DeMaurice Smith rubber lips, not because he lies. Stop it. We used to call them rubber lips. No, 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 nobody does that.
No.
Anyway, like, I don't even know if it, does John Gruden deserve another chance? I don't know if the word, he deserves another chance if he's a really good football coach and you're willing to look past whatever these thoughts are. I will also say that I'm pretty sure that John Gruden is not the only coach in the NFL who has, maybe not didn't use the term rubber lips, but has said something else incredibly disrespectful, racist, and stupid.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that disqualifies you from being a coach, but is he worth bringing back to the league? I would argue no. I would argue that the Raiders shouldn't have done that in the first place. All right. Jerry Jones spoke. I'm fascinated by this story and how this plays out because there's so much unspoken meaning here. Jerry Jones did his weekly hit with, I guess it's the Fan in Dallas, 105 point something.
105.3, I believe.
105.3, yeah, in Dallas. And Jerry sort of laid down the law.
I like that. Continually remind him that we need to not only get in the playoffs, but we need to get way deep into the playoffs so we got a chance. I think this team is reflecting that. I think it is a narrative of the team. I think it reflected in our decision-making in the spring, who we kept, who we let go, and who we brought off. So that is the narrative. Yeah. Get in a better spot to stay longer in the playoff.
All right, so is that a directive at Mike McCarthy? Have a better regular season, go on a deep playoff run or else?
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
Right? Maybe. Maybe so. I would point to this for Dallas. This might be a reflection of the organization as a whole. Like, first of all, no offense, they should have never hired Mike McCarthy in the first place.
No.
Mike McCarthy as a hire is literally the equivalent of like running off tackle on third and three. It could not be a more conservative hire than hiring Mike McCarthy. I'm not saying that you should have kept Jason Garrett because Jason Garrett was a draw play on third and eight. But we have like competing themes within that team. It's like they have enough talent, they should just let it rip. But I would argue that it's really an organizational failure. I think Jerry Jones has become a good general manager. I don't think he's a bad general manager. But his decision-making with head coaches and with when to get Dak Prescott signed have had ripple effects. They kept Jason Garrett too long. They hired the wrong guy in Mike McCarthy. And they waited, I think, at least 1 year, maybe 2 years too long to deal with Dak Prescott.
I think they tried to sign him early, but I think Dak Prescott played the long game.
He did.
There's two sides of the street here.
If Dak Prescott read the room, he knew where salaries were going.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones and company didn't read the room. Baltimore Ravens are making the same mistake. The quicker if you identify him as your quarterback of the future, and it's clear, after year one, the Cowboys knew that Dak Prescott was their quarterback of the future. Whether he was a top five quarterback or not, that's our guy. When you identify him as your guy, as soon as you can get it done, you get it done. Because it saves you money in the long run. Dak Prescott's salary cap hit next year is $49 million. No way Dallas can stomach that. There will be a restructuring, which means that Dak's going to get paid again.
Yeah.
The Cowboys screwed that up from Jump Street. As soon as you identify your guy, get him paid. Well, get him signed.
Again, I think Dak said, I'm going to wait.
Right.
Doesn't matter what you're offering right now. I'm waiting. Again,
no.
You can't just – you can throw me a contract, but I can sit there and say, no, not yet.
Right. But at the time, Dak was looking for in the neighborhood of $35 a year. Mm-hmm. Cowboys wanted to pay him $30, right? If you do the deal for $35 a year, right, and you stretch it out long term, the cap hits that are coming up aren't there. The cap hits are smaller. Ultimately, quarterbacks in this league are going to get paid ridiculous money. Everybody knew this, apparently, except for Jerry Jones. And Steve Bisciotti is going to have the same problem. I said this 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Lamar Jackson, he wants Deshaun Watson guaranteed money, right? Mm-hmm. Give it to him. Give it to him. You don't have to guarantee the whole contract. You tack dummy years onto it to lower the cap hit. This ain't hard.
Yeah.
Give him $240 million guaranteed. He's a ridiculous football player. He's better than Deshaun Watson. Give him the money. He's your guy. It's going to cost you money to not do it. This is not brain surgery. I don't understand why teams are doing this, but they do, and they get burned in the long run. Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people I've seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Mets and Dodgers at Citi Field last night did not go the way of the home team. That bums me out. Mets lose 4-3 to the Dodgers, but they'll play again today, and it will be Jacob DeGrom Wednesday. That's exciting. Maybe not as exciting as owning an entire league. And that's what was announced today. As full disclosure, company that owns us, Capital Broadcasting, now owns the Coastal Plain League. College Baseball Woodbat Summer League, which is fun. There's a team in Holly Springs, the Salamanders. In fact, Dennis Cox, you are wearing a Holly Springs Salamanders t-shirt. They used to have the Savannah Bananas in the league, but they went on their own. They were like Beyonce, and they went out on their own. Mike Burling is the general manager of the Durham Bulls. Durham Bulls, also owned by Capital Broadcasting. They're going to run the Coastal Plain League. You went from running two teams to running 13 teams. No, more. 15 teams. Are you ready? Or whatever the number is, 14. Are you ready for that?
I don't know if you could ever be ready for that, but no, we're excited. This is a pretty cool thing. We've really enjoyed owning the Holly Springs Salamanders team and really learning about the Coastal Plain League and just with all the changes that we as the Durham Bulls have kind of gone through with minor league baseball.
Mm-hmm.
This is something we're really excited about.
So let me ask this very simple question. What are the differences other than the college kids don't get paid, which great scam for the Coastal Plain League? What are the differences between owning and operating a high level one of the two or three best AAA franchise in the country and a team in a college wooden bat college prep league?
Well, on the business side, really not a lot. Now, like I said earlier, the changes that we've gone through with Major League Baseball has made it different than what it was previously when we were minor league baseball. I feel like this is kind of more like the old minor league baseball. But that's why we're excited about owning the league, because I think we can take that expertise that we have with the Durham Bulls and with just our history of minor league baseball, that we can work with these incredible owners that own all these different, 12 of the 13 teams with us owning Holly Springs, to work with them and share kind of that expertise. Cause at the end of the day, we want to grow their business. We want to grow their fan base. We want to grow their impact on their different communities. And that's what excites us about owning the league and just working with the individual owners.
Coastal Plain League's been around for I'm just going to ballpark it here, about 20 years or so. And it's become one of the best summer leagues for college kids who want to get experience, the hitters, using wooden bats. And I guess it's experience for pitchers, too, because pitching inside has greater benefits than it does with the composite bats. But just how has this product grown over the last 20 years?
Well, you look at, especially in the Triangle, you look at what's happened with college baseball. 20 years ago, nobody was going to college baseball games. Now you look around the country and there's, 40, 50, $60 million stadiums being built for colleges. Right. So college baseball has really come a long way. And just the whole dynamics of scouting players has changed so dramatically with analytics and with our relationship with Major League Baseball and obviously with the Rays. We think we're looking at this in two different levels. There's the baseball side, which we can have far more of an impact on the baseball side than we can at the minor league level, because the minor league level, as you know, we just are told, hey, these are your players.
Right.
So we can we're the ones developing the team. We're the ones, deciding which players we want. We're the ones working with the TrackMan companies and trying to get our analytics out, and that's a huge goal of ours. We want to have as many players drafted as possible out of the Coastal Plain League. That only grows what we're trying to do. And then you do the flip side of the business side, where same thing, we want to do what we do over here in Durham and Holly Springs and try to get as many fans as possible to really engage in the sport of baseball, because as you know, that's changing. The demographic of Major League Baseball is much older than a lot of the other major sports, and we feel we can have an impact on that more at the lower levels in some of these communities where minor league teams have left over the past 10, 20, 30 years.
Yeah, and the most recent Major League Baseball restructuring, we'll just use that term, took about 20 or so minor league franchises out of the minor league, professional minor league system, and encourage them to become, college wooden bat leagues in the summer. You guys, the Cape Cod League, I think there's one in the Northwest, and they have had kind of a long-standing head start. Six of the other 12 franchises are in North Carolina, most of which do not have names as cool as the Holly Springs Salamanders. What are the plans that maybe you have to kind of circulate some things around the league, to try new different things? It's too bad the Savannah Bananas are out. They've become like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. I think that's what they're trying to be now. They were part of this whole thing. But do you have plans to like try some different things, gimmicks around the game?
I wouldn't call them gimmicks. I think we are very much part of the game of baseball here with Major League Baseball, minor league baseball. So I don't think we're looking at it and believe me, I'm a big fan of Jesse Cole. I've enjoyed working with him over the last few years. We're not going to go in that direction, but are there things that we can try beyond what Major League Baseball is trying at the Bulls, especially this year with pitch clocks and, shifting and things like that. The good thing we have is we have such great relationships with college coaches from Carolina, Duke, NC State. We can ask them and we can really learn from them. All right, what would you want to see in a college wooden bat league that you hope could eventually become part of the ACC? or become part of the SEC, some of these bigger conferences. You know, we want to look at that, and that's something we're not in control of, owning a minor league team, but we would have control over that owning a league like the Coastal Plain League. So I think that's not probably first on our list.
Right.
We have to, you know, just work with the owners and really get comfortable what that vision is long term. But yeah, that is definitely something that we think is something we can try out and test things and see what the reaction of the fans is.
I actually like if a fan catches a foul ball, you're out. I like that as well.
Yeah, that one's cool. I like that one too.
I also like no bunting. I love that. I'm a big fan of no bunting. You know that. Big fan of no bunting.
That's been taken out anyway.
Well, yes, but they still allow it without penalty of incarceration. Let me ask you one. This is a bigger picture baseball story, and I'm just curious. There are probably things you cannot say for a lot of reasons. But minor league baseball players are being offered unionization. Major League Baseball Players Association basically hired a staff of people that were all working on as advocates for minor league players, and they're going to try to bring them into the Major League Baseball Players Association. I don't even know how you answer the question, but how does this impact what you do? Is there a way you can, like, skirt around this issue without getting yourself or the Bulls in trouble? I mean, what does this mean? It may not mean anything for Triple-A baseball, but what does it mean overall?
Yeah, I think that's what I would say initially is what it means for Triple-A is far less than what it means for a low-A team. I've been fortunate enough to work in Single-A and Triple-A, so it's
right.
Just different. The players here are paid much differently. There has been great steps made over the last, 24, 48 months, especially on the housing front. But you think of the bus. Yeah, at our level, you're flying around. Your buses are, really nice sleeper buses.
Right.
There are some things that I think everybody would agree needs to be changed. Now, did this catch us off guard? Sure. And it sounds like a lot of the players didn't even know this was something that was in the works. So it'll be interesting to see. I think the train was already heading down the path of trying to fix a lot of this. Now there are some concerns on our side, what does that mean? We just lost 40 minor league teams. Is this
right.
Something where you could lose some more? That's an obvious concern. But I hope everybody, at the end of the day, the best interest is, we have an incredible game here. We have incredible players. What they do is special on the field. They're the best of the best. And we have to figure out a way on both sides, from a business side and from a health and wellness standpoint, how do we make sure that we're taking care of everyone?
Have you heard any players talk about this being a priority for them? I don't know that.
Yeah, the discussions, Kyle, I've been in minor league baseball 29 years, and for 27 of them, I never heard anybody talking about it. But now the last couple of years, it's definitely on the forefront. It's definitely discussions that are had on the field and in the locker room. And
okay. And
I think for the first time, major league players are really looking down and saying, hey, we need to fix this and we need to help and whatever that means going forward. And hopefully we can, collectively work on a path to make sure we just continue to strengthen this great game.
You need more guys like former Bull pitcher David Price, who didn't he pay all of the Dodgers minor leaguers during the pandemic year, that the guys who couldn't get paid because there wasn't a game?
Right, yeah. And I think you see that, Scherzer's on the executive committee.
Yeah.
He was just down in, I don't know if it was Single-A or Double-A,
Yeah.
When these guys go down on rehab. It hits them of what the impact is. And, back 10, 15 years ago, to be a elite baseball player, it's just so different now. It is something, these guys are just nonstop working.
Yeah.
Whether it's working on, the health impact, the nutrition impact, all that is so new of the last, three, four, 5 years. The analytics piece, back in the day, you finished the game. You sat around in the clubhouse. Now you finished the game and you are getting a ton of reports to analyze everything you did during the game to try to make you better. So it's just so different than it was even 5-10 years ago.
Gosh, I hope that doesn't come to radio. Mike Burling, the general manager of the Durham Bulls and the Holly Springs Salamanders. And now I guess you're running an entire league. I appreciate your time, my friend. I'll talk to you very soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
You got it. Mike Burling here on the Adam Gold Show. There's another element about this that is, again, I'm not going to try and characterize it as troubling or what, but we've trimmed from like 160 minor league teams to 120. Mm-hmm. But the draft went from, let's just say conservatively, 45 rounds to 20 rounds. So there are more undrafted players than we've ever had who would otherwise be drafted and maybe have some options, maybe get some bonus money. So they're like, maybe the college leagues are going to be popping up in more places because these kids still need more development and development with wood bats. And there's fewer opportunities at the minor league level to develop. But it is kind of scammish. Although NIL will get these kids some money. So they'll be able to earn money as baseball players in the offseason.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast. I just saw a report on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Writer in Boston is on site for the LIV Golf event, which is this weekend in Boston.
Okay.
And we see this every time a LIV Golf event happens. It's like they are amazed that, like at the driving range and the putting green, there's like a DJ set up and he's playing house music, whatever it is, club music. Like, yeah. So what?
Okay.
Right. It's fine. I've been an advocate for sustained noise in golf since I've been doing radio. Like, I don't believe you should have to, everybody has to be really quiet. Like, as long as we're not doing things to distract the players in their backswings, then, like, sustain noise. How come athletes at the free throw line can shoot free throws with people screaming and yelling and even people, you know, doing strange things behind the basket?
Yeah.
Did they not need to concentrate? Like, as long as the noise is sustained, it won't matter. Mm. It just becomes white noise in the background. So Phil Mickelson's putting, whatever is on the putting green. Like, yeah, I'm sure he doesn't even hear it because it's just all background noise. But we get kind of like, oh, man, isn't this I can't believe this is happening. Like, it ain't that big a deal. All right. This is, I think, also not that big a deal. But we are in we've always talked about not as much goes on as you think in the off season of the NFL, which is why we talk about the Panthers quarterback situation for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Garoppolo is no longer the starting quarterback at the San Francisco 49ers. And Kyle Shanahan, the head coach, didn't even waste any time in the off season. They basically said, Trey Lance, you're the guy. Jimmy G, you're going to get gone. They tried to trade him. Couldn't. They don't want to release him because asset. So now they're keeping him. They restructured his contract, and they are trying to put the best positive spin on it as they can. Here's Kyle Shanahan on the quarterback situation.
It seems like everyone was just waiting for us to cut him before that, so they could see how much they could get him for. But once the last Saturday preseason game happened and no one got injured, then Jimmy thought this was his best situation that he liked. And that's why we were so pumped, because it's obviously a better situation for the Niners. We love getting Jimmy back.
The first part of that was the real truth, is that Jimmy Garoppolo because he has been a successful starting quarterback. I don't want to call him very good starting quarterback because I don't think he is. But he has been a very good game manager. Mm-hmm. He has led the 49ers to, I think, one Super Bowl and two NFC championship games.
Sounds about right.
Right? He's just been okay.
Yeah.
He hasn't been the reason they've gotten there, but he's been he hasn't stopped them from getting there. He's an asset. It's that simple. I don't know why this confuses people. He's not a locker room problem. Sure, Jimmy wants to play, but he also understands that he won't. It's Trey Lance's job. So unless Trey Lance gets hurt, Jimmy Garoppolo will be the backup. Even if Lance plays poorly, Jimmy Garoppolo will be the backup. Kyle Shanahan made his decision. He is willing to bite the year if it means a much more successful future for the 49ers and Trey Lance. That's fine. That's their decision. He and John Lynch, the general manager, have made that decision. That's the way they're going. And, okay, I respect that. But all they're trying to do is get something for the asset. They weren't going to cut Garoppolo so a team could get him for nothing.
Yeah.
They're going to hang on to him maybe all year, but until they've got until like almost like in November before the trade deadline comes. The trade deadline's later than it ever has been. So they've got half the year to figure it out. And if a team needs a quarterback in October, they'll come knocking on the 49ers door.
Exactly.
Like, this is not difficult.
Or if Trey Lance, like you said, gets hurt beginning of the season.
Right. Then they have Garoppolo.
Then you got Garoppolo. You're good to go.
He's an asset.
Why would you get rid of that?
It just doesn't make any sense. It's very, very simple to understand.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.